At the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there were two companions. One was a trader and the other was an ironsmith who would make swords and sell them. The first trader was such that he was weighing his goods to sell, and if he heard the azan, he would put down the scale and start praying at that moment. The second companion was such that if he was striking a heated metal and he heard the azan and the hammer was in his hand behind his shoulder, ready to strike, he would drop it immediately and leave for Salah. They are commended in this ayah, saying that even trade doesn't make them heedless, whereas a person who trades always wants to get profit and make the sale. But even this want doesn't make them heedless. This is for men. And for women who are normally involved in the housework. But they get so occupied that when they hear the azan so many times, yet they put off praying to complete this chore or that chore and delay so much that time for salah comes to its end. And for those people, even trade doesn't make them heedless, and they do not fear a loss of a customer or a sale. While if we stop a task at home, it would not make a difference. And these people were the ones who supported their household, yet they were not neglectful of praying their salah on time. So many things make us heedless: shopping, chores at home. And they are not heedless in establishing the salah, nor wa'ita is zakah, and giving their zakah, the mandatory alms. They do not fall short in paying their mandatory alms, the zakah, making excuses that they are too busy to give or consider it unimportant. They do not make excuses and do not become heedless, because they are the ones who have nurun ala nur, light upon light in their hearts. A person who has a heart enlightened with faith doesn't become heedless, even if the markets make a person heedless. And most disliked place by Allah are the marketplaces, and the most beloved places of Allah are the masajid. But why are the markets or the bazaars not liked? Because there is so much heedlessness in those places. In the marketplaces, or bazaars, or shops, people get so preoccupied by looking at the things of this dunya. So for many people, salahs are overlooked. Therefore, Allah does not like those places. Person can go to the markets or shopping for their needs, but it is not a liked place. These people, while standing in the bazaars and markets, do not forget the remembrance of Allah. They remember Allah even when they are occupied in their trade. They not only remember Allah in the masjid, and they do not forget zakah. Why is it so? Because يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. They fear, even after remembering Allah in markets, in their trades, their jobs, businesses, they establish salah and do additional dhikr of Allah, and they give zakah, yet still their hearts are fearful. They fear the day when hearts will be overturned, the day eyes will be overturned. As in Surah Al-Mu'minun, the believers are mentioned, where they fear the day and what will happen to them. The day when they will be shaken, shaken like rattles are shaken by a small child, when hearts will be in the throats, sights will be overturned, the eyes of mankind will see the terror of that day and will wonder where to escape. Ayn al-mafar. Despite doing good, they were fearful of that day and were not satisfied of all that they did. ليجزيهم الله أحسن ما عملوا. So Allah rewards them with the best of what they did. And they do good, so Allah rewards them. So the good they do is accepted by Allah. They are the ones to do the best deeds. Deen, or religion, is not just praying Salah in the masjid. And then the rest of the time, do whatever we want. We learn about these special people, that even in the markets, they remember Allah. And one who remembers Allah, even while doing their trade, would they cheat or do fraud in their business? No. Their zikr of Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, are not just empty words. Even when they are occupied in worldly affairs, they are busy with the remembrance of Allah. Deen and dunya are not separate. Markets are dunya, and they remember Allah there as well. وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, and they also wish that Allah increases them from His bounty. And Allah will reward them more, when they will be rewarded 10 times for one good deed, and even more, 70 times, and in some places, 700 times, and to some He will give without any measure, because Allah is who يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah is one who gives to whom He wills without measure. No one can ask Him. He will reward them with the best because of what they did, and will increase it. It will not be returned according to their deeds, but Allah will give them more that is not deserved according to their striving, but additional reward from Allah. Allah will multiply their good deeds 700 times or even more. This is the fadl, or grace of Allah, that He increases it. And He increases it for whom He wills, and gives without any measure. He does not count, gives unlimited. Then we learn an example of two types of people. Both types are the disbelievers. One type of a disbeliever that is mentioned is one who recites the kalima of Islam by his mouth, but in his heart is disbelief or hypocrisy. So he is a disbeliever by his actions. His tongue says La ilaha illallah, but his actions shows that he is a disbeliever. He does not obey the commands of Allah. Everyone does good, and so do these people. They give charity in various causes, or feed the poor here and there. What will become of the good that they do? Either their deeds have shirk in it. A person can eat raw poison by itself, or can mix it with food. Poison is poison, even if it is put in food, will make it poisonous, and the poison, if eaten by itself. Likewise, a disbeliever living a life of disbelief is a kafir. And one who says the kalima, the testimony of faith, yet associate partners or ascribes partners unto Allah, even then he is considered a disbeliever. And his kalima doesn't have any weight, because he mixed the poison of shirk. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, and those who disbelieved, أَعْمَالُهُمْ, their good deeds. How will be their good deeds on the day of Qiyamah? كَتَرَابٍ بَقِيَّةٍ, like a mirage in a dry, plain desert. If we imagine shiny sand, and far away it looks like there is water, it can be seen from far away as there is extreme heat, and it is in a plain land with nothing upon it. يَحْسَبُهُ الزَّمْآنُ, and the one who is extremely thirsty thinks that it is water, so he runs towards it. حتى إذا جاءه لم يجده شيئا until he comes near, doesn't find anything there. ووجد الله عنده and finds Allah there. فوفاه حسابه and with him is his account. Allah gives him his account and reckoning. This is an example of all their good deeds. They think they did so much good, saying, we built this hospital, did such and such charity work, we gave this much donation, thinking that all these will save them in the hereafter and will help them. Rather, they are like a mirage. Man runs towards them, thinking they will find water, while there is no water. And when they reach there, they will find Allah, who will give them their full account. But there is nothing for them there. If the example of the mirage is difficult to understand, they can think of a person who puts money in their bank account regularly, and one day he thinks he has a lot of money saved up. And then he goes to take it out when he needs it the most, as a person who is thirsty and runs towards the mirage that he sees. And when he gets to the bank, the people in the bank say, you have nothing in the account. The count is zero. In this situation, a person will probably fall from a heart attack, thinking he had collected thousands. But where did it go? Similarly, their good deeds will be wasted. The water that they see are their good deeds. They think that they are there, but when they reach there in the hereafter, when they need it the most, on the day of Qiyamah, they will find that there is nothing there. The water they saw was a mirage and not there in reality, just as they could see their good deeds, but they were not there in reality. This is a person who is a disbeliever. Allah has put in his heart to recognize him, but he did not gain benefit from it. Allah had put his recognition in the man's fitrah, as the oil symbolizing the truth was not ready to burn and gain benefit from. This includes good deeds done for show, and those who are munafiq or hypocrites and superficially recite the kalima and do certain superficial good deeds to be considered pious, thinking this will help them in the hereafter. While in the hereafter, it will be like a mirage. A mirage is a deception without a reality. Man perceives something, but is something else in reality. Similarly, man thinks and plans that I will build a career, will buy a home, and will do this or that for my kids. And he achieves the success in this life. He considers himself very successful, but does not do anything for his hereafter. He thinks that he is complete. Then one day, death comes to him, and the home that he had built, his career, was all a sirab, a mirage, which he ran after in this life. And when he felt the most thirst and need in the hereafter, where did the house he built go? All the things he gathered, his children, his wealth, where did they go? They were not the reality, and not what he perceived them to be. He did not do anything for the hereafter. And where did all that he had go? There is only Allah who will take his account and will recompense fully as he did in the world. He did not do anything for the hereafter. Then what will he get there? Allah will only recompense for what he sent ahead as earnings for the hereafter. والله سريع الحساب. Allah is swift to take account. It doesn't take time for Allah to give account. Man should only supplicate that he doesn't get what he deserves, but that Allah give him from his mercy, because no one deserves Jannah. And if Allah does equity that day and gives us exactly as we did in the world, then we will surely perish. Only when he shows his mercy, then we can be saved. And now the second example is of darkness upon darkness. Before we learn about Nurun ala Nur, here it is Zulumatun ala Zulumat. First example was of water. Here the second example is of darknesses. As we learned the example of a hypocrite in Surah Al-Baqarah. First we learn about the rain, then the fire, and then the water again. Here, deeds of disbelievers are compared with the mirage and the darkness. أو كظلمات في بحر, like the darknesses in the sea. There are darknesses on land, but the darkness of the sea are لجيين, ones very deep, inside the depths of the ocean, where there is very dark. يغشاه موج من فوقه موج من فوقه سحاب. Such darknesses that covers in one wave, then another wave, then above it clouds. It means waves upon waves. Long ago, people didn't know that there are waves in depths of the ocean and thought that the only waves were the ones that are seen on the surface of the ocean and the seas. A scientist who discovered that there are waves deep in the ocean as well, when he heard this in the Quran, he was amazed. He said, how is that possible that this is mentioned in the Quran? There are waves above and below in the ocean, currents of water deep in the sea as well. To understand this example of darkness of the seas and oceans, how are these darknesses? Oceans are so deep, and after reaching a certain depth in the sea, there is absolute darkness below it, because no light reaches there. And there are waves upon waves. Then above it are clouds. Then there is no chance of the sun to reach there. ظُلُمَاتٌ بَعْدُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْدٍ. Darknesses, some of them above others. Darkness from the clouds, then the depth of the oceans, and then the darkness of the night. When all the darknesses are combined, how will be this darkness? Such darkness, إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا. If he takes out his hand to see, he will not be able to see it. The disbelievers, who are the traitors to Allah and do not have any connection with Allah. Allah had placed the nur in their hearts, but they became cut off from it and went in darknesses. We consider those who are in deep darkness as open-minded or enlightened intellectually. Those who are in the darkness of ignorance, darkness of heedlessness, and darkness of sins, they are all darknesses. They are darknesses of doubt, not knowing what is correct or wrong, because there is no faith within the person. They have doubts. Allah had placed light of fitrah, but they prefer to live in the darkness. There are many types of darknesses, while there is only one nur, or light. There is the darkness of desires, darkness of lack of knowledge, darkness of culture, so many types of darknesses. Here a person is being depicted who is drowned in the darkness. He is in such utter darkness that he cannot even see his own hand. He doesn't even know who he is. He has lost his own recognition. How will he recognize his Lord? When he brings his hand near, he doesn't see it. This is how much darkness he is in. Hands are mentioned because a person can bring them near their eyes. But this person in the darkness cannot even see that, and he prefers to live in this darkness. For a believer, it was nur upon nur, while one in the darkness has no connection with the Quran. He has no such environment that is good. Even the environment is bad for him. Nor does he receive any chance to get the light. And to get the light, he has to go to Allah. He has to turn to Allah. Has to ask from Allah. There must be a desire to gain this light. He must ask Allah to show the way of the truth. Man should submit. Who is a Muslim? One who submits. What does it mean to submit? To bow in prostration? No, submitting to the commands of Allah. If it is the decree of Allah, submit. And one who thinks he doesn't need and considers himself and his own intellect sufficient and doesn't need the commands of Allah. We find people like this in our society who are so drowned and have no clue where they are going and have no concept of the hereafter. They do not know anything. They have forgotten about their own reality, where they came from, and where they have to go. They see people dying with their own eyes, but do not know anything. They are so blind that they do not even see their own hands. When they are in these darknesses, how can they come out of it? What should they do? They have to ask from Allah to get out from these darknesses. They must have a desire for light. Light has to be lit and has to come into their hearts. They are so accustomed to darknesses that they do not even see their own faults because they cannot see their own body parts. They do not see their mistakes nor realize they are walking the wrong way. They have to have the realization of their heedlessness, but they do not know. Rather, the evils, the darknesses, consider them to be the correct way. They are considered being modern, being enlightened. There's a person who is in a dark room for a long time, and if anyone turns on the light, they say, "Turn it off, turn it off." The light is hurting their eyes. They are used to living in the darkness. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. And for one whom Allah does not make any light, then cannot be any light for him. For one who is in the darkness, unless Allah wants light for him, and unless Allah gives him the ability to come out of the darkness, they cannot come out. If Allah doesn't give them the light of guidance, the light of faith, then there is no light for them, no matter if they attend Ivy League schools or universities, or if they get multiple degrees. They will never get this light. Light is given to one who asks for it. It is bestowed by Allah when one has a desire for it. What do we consider nur? Do we consider the darknesses nur or the light? They are darknesses and not light. Nur is a bestowal of Allah. One who doesn't submit to Allah, how will they receive the nur? We should ask Allah to grant us the nur of guidance and the nur of faith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would supplicate to Allah for nur. He would make the following supplication: Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi nura وفي بصري نورا وفي سمعي نورا وأن يميني نورا وأن يساري نورا وفوقي نورا وتحتي نورا وأمامي نورا وخلفي نورا واجعل لي نورا وفي لساني نورا وعصبي نورا ولحمي نورا ودمي نورا وشعري نورا وبشري نورا واجعل في نفسي نورا وأعظم لي نورا اللهم أعطيني نورا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fill us with the nur in our hearts, in our tongues, in our flesh, in our blood, in our hair, in front of us, on the right of us, and the left of us. This nur is a blessing of Allah, and He bestows it to whom He wills. Otherwise, there are only darknesses. Who wants to live in darknesses? People take pride in living in darknesses today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove us from the darknesses, and darknesses of ignorance, and darknesses of heedlessness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove us from the darkness of the environment we live in, the darkness of the desires. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove us from all the darknesses, and bring us into light. Ameen. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. Please listen to the recitation.
الله الرحمن الرحيم في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار ليجزيهم الله أحسن ما عملوا ويزيدهم من فضله والله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب والذين كفروا أعمالهم كسراب بقيعة يحسبه الظمآن ماء حتى إذا جاءه لم يجده شيئا ووجد الله عنده فوفاه حسابه والله سريع الحساب أو كظلمات في بحر لجي يغشاه موج من فوقه موج من فوقه سحاب ظلمات بعضها فوق بعض إذا أخرج يده لم يكد يراها ومن لم يجعل الله له نورا فما له من نور